All right, well, welcome to If Lands Could Kill. This will be the first official non-beta episode of this podcast. This is Knife City Alchemist with...
A Quickness here.
And Reich sitting off to your left.
And the sauce boss.
And, yeah, we don't exactly know what direction this podcast is going to go. I wouldn't say we're beginners in magic, but I would say we're novices.
No, we're noobs. Bad.
So, we have a long way to go, but this is kind of a podcast, you know, for novices by novices, you know. So, you know, you can grow with us and level up with us. But I guess let's just do like a little background, like, how we got started in the game. Does that sound good, guys?
Yeah. We're definitely good. Taking a bottom up approach.
So yeah. So, you know, we started wanting to play like really nerdy games, together just as an excuse to hang out because, you know, we all got jobs and girlfriends and whatever. So we started playing Risk and, we all liked that pretty much, and we wanted to get nerdier as we progressed.
Not Dungeons and Dragons nerdy.
No, that's
we're not
like,
there yet. In the not future, there though. Yet.
That's like when we're 60.
I'm not going to rule it out.
Yeah.
But you got to mention what kind of Risk it was, because it wasn't just some standard old Risk that you
It wasn't Risk Legacy. It was Risk Legacy. I'm going to edit that out.
Here's a plug for Hasbro and Risk Legacy.
If you want to be one of our sponsors,
it's $79.99 even.
So, we started playing that and, you know, we were done with that game and, for some reason I got, wanting to learn how to play Magic. I think it was because when I was a little kid, there's this nerd next door to me and he was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years older and, he was playing Magic. I don't think I ever, did I tell you guys about
that? I don't
think
I've heard this story.
Yeah, right next door. So he tried to teach me how to play, but I was like a little kid and didn't know what the hell he was talking about, and he got like frustrated and like, he's like, ah, screw it, you know? And, so like, I think that's why like it kind of popped up in my subconscious, like, I want to play, you know, show that fucker what's up. But, yeah, so, I think how, we started playing was my idea, and I downloaded the illegal version of Duels of the Planeswalker. And, the hacked version, and just to learn the rules and
allegedly,
stuff.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah. You
never
know,
if fault.
You can't prove this.
Still unconfirmed.
Yeah. So, and then I was obsessing on it, so I went out and bought an intro deck. We started playing during Gate Crash, by the way.
Gate Crash was a good fucking
dude,
block.
I wish I'm really upset we missed Ravnica.
Ravnica was
Gate Crash.
Too good.
It's all about me, man. Yeah. I love that fucking Simic and the Evolve and the counters and
the theme of the guilds, you know?
Yeah, I think we came in like at the perfect fucking time for Magic because it was just like the amount of cards that we had to choose from or like to work with was just so good, and the quality of the cards were so good.
I think also we could like.
I think I'm foiled. That's what I'm saying.
Instead of just coming in on an M set, we came in when we could like associate ourselves with like colors and guilds and kind of.
Yeah, we came in at the end of the block. Well, Gate Crash was what the middle part of the block. So yeah, we came in at a perfect time.
So I went and got the Dimir intro deck, which was a mill deck. I had no idea. I was just like, I like black. Give me something black. And that's what your mom said.
giggity, giggity.
And then, I talked about it with these guys, but they hadn't gotten cards yet, and so I would go to the, our local game store, and, I remember the first time I walked in, it was so awkward, like, because, you know, I'm nerdy, but, you know, I feel like, you know, I look like a normal guy or whatever, but like, I walked in, and there's people with like, you know, breathing out their mouth.
Certified
nerds, you know. Right. When you look at not judging, not judging, but you can just tell when you look at them, like nerds, you know. And so I was like, I felt like I walked into their realm, you know. Like status. Like
not at all.
You get pussy on the daily. I don't care. I have a fucking foil. Blah blah blah. You know, like it didn't matter. I was the new boy.
We were the lowest of the low when we first came in. Yeah.
So I walked in super awkward, and it was cool. They you know they taught me how to play. And they even gave me some shitty like commons and uncommons to, you know, build my deck with. And so I eventually got these guys into it. And I mean, tell them what intro decks you got.
Oh, I got the Simic. This is Sauce. And I got the Simic one. And I, in the beginning, they said like, yeah, that's the weakest one. Probably shouldn't get that. But it, I mean, sounded good to me. And then I discovered that I love combo decks, and that's my main thing is people have their own thing, whether it be mill or control or aggro or whatever. I love seeing a combo hit off. If I can get like three cards on the board that all have that synergy, that is why I play Magic, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of, actually, I think it's kind of funny how we, with the introduction we started with, this kind of the colors, like, some of us kind of stayed in. Like, I got Gruul. This is Reich, by the way. And fucking, like, I'm a Gruul diehard now. Like, red, green for life. There's like, I'll play red. I love red too, but it's like.
You just want to turn big shit sideways.
God, I just want big ass creatures and just all the trample and just fucking turn sideways. If I'm not like attacking, then I'm just not playing Magic.
which is perfect. I'm definitely on your side.
I feel it. It's like in my blood now. Like if you cut my fucking arm open right now, I just bleed red and green out.
Well, what I started out with was the Is It intro deck.
Which that's the red.
It's red blue. It's more of the Spellslinger guild, and which kind of carried over to what I'm doing now. I kind of feel like the podcast was named after my style of play. Whereas I play the land go. I play control decks. I love just playing lands and playing instants, drawing cards, just controlling the board and make it. I classify myself as the anti-fun police now.
Right, you piss people off.
He is so unfun.
I hate his deck. I make people hate playing against me, pretty much.
And I mean, I like anything black. Like,
anything.
Shut up. I like playing swamps, but anything that has a swamp in it, I love to play. But I love to mill. Like, that's what initially drew me to, because they explained to me, like, oh, milling is like an alternate win condition. And I was like, that sounds awesome, because, like, anytime I milled somebody out, it, like, pissed them off.
Yeah. So not only can I kill you with creatures, but I can mill you out at the same time.
Yeah, so I just love being, like, obnoxious and loud. I'm sure you'll get that vibe by the end of the podcast, but.
Sure, they already got it.
So, I mean, I think I'm going to try and force a standard mill deck whenever I can. And that's actually my main deck that I'm playing right now is a Dimir mill. But I mean, that's like, that's the history how we got started playing Magic. I mean, we started doing tournaments here and there, like little local game store, Friday Night Magic type of tournaments.
Yeah, this started, back in April? Last year, 2013, we started playing? I think April, right?
Whenever Gatecrash was out.
Yeah, whenever that was out. So it's been a little while. So, I mean, we've definitely come a long way.
Yeah. I'm still a little awkward when I meet people at those places, though.
Going to the game.
They're all familiar with what's going on. I still feel relatively new. Like, talking to Fred, I feel like she's a hot chick. Like, he's this beautiful girl that I can barely fucking talk to.
So you don't know how to approach
him. He knows like, everything, and I have to ask these stupid-ass questions. Like, does this, if I trigger this, does it also affect this? And he just, like, spits off the super fast answer, you know, all confident, and I'm like, I don't know. I guess. I'm sorry for asking, sir.
Yeah, let's go back and
the ruling on the Gathering website.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But, and then, a Quickness started doing, MTGO. Oh, and yeah. I was like against it. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to spend twice as much money, blah, blah, blah. And then I got on there, of course. I mean, I couldn't. And, it works out because my schedule, my hours for work changed and I work like afternoons / night now. So I can't do like Friday Night Magic. I can't do all the tournaments at the local game stores are when I work. So it's perfect that I can play a tournament, competitive Magic. Whenever I want.
It's really competitive online too. Yeah. There's people all around the world that are playing and they've been playing for however many years or however, you know, they have that knowledge and that skill. So.
Yeah, some people, this is their livelihood is play Magic Online. Crazy. They make their living off of Magic Online. Yeah. So.
And I just mostly like to draft. Like, I eventually got like some kind of cheapy standard decks that I just brewed together, but I love to draft. I can just draft whenever I want and I get new cards and I might win some packs. That's mostly what I use MTGO for, is to draft.
Yeah, I think it's just the convenience, too. It's so good. I mean, I need to start getting back into MTGO, because I have, like, a red deck wins on it, because it was just cheap. But, I mean, just be able to play, because, you know, it sucks when you don't have, you know, scheduled. You can't make it to the Friday night. Like, I can never make Friday night Magic, because by the time they do it at our local store, it's like, I'm already just getting off work.
Right.
And so I can't make it, even if I wanted to. But
there's
I mean,
a big convenience factor there.
It's nice to be able to just fucking log in online.
Yeah, and plus they're starting to bring in all the different types of formats that Paper Magic supports now. They have the commander decks on there, and it seems like that's going to be more of a thing now.
Yeah.
Which is also good. Cause
so check it out. Check it out. Commander. If you haven't tried MTGO out, I mean, it's definitely, it's showing its age.
Oh my god.
Even with the beta version of it, but I mean, it's still.
So when I
don't understatement, dude.
When I first download, like, the version 3 or whatever the non-beta is, I installed it, and I immediately uninstalled it for the beta. Cause I looked at it, and it looked like a fucking 90s computer game. Like, with the just. I was like, what is this?
No,
fucking,
it does.
It's a point and click card game.
Is this a fucking, like, I didn't expect, like,
no bling or
big
flash or anything.
3D, like, special effects, but, like, it looked like this chess game I used to play when I was 12 on the computer. Like, seriously.
It's like a little, Chessmaster 3000 on DOS.
It's a little different, though, coming from Duels of the Planeswalkers, when that has all this production value to get new players in. And then, for the serious people, they have this shitty program that you guys, you know, we all love or whatever,
it's
but
like
it is
bare
funky.
Bones. Yeah.
It is a fucking disaster,
but,
kind of.
Like, okay, so there's, like, I don't want to spend too much time on Bash and Magic Online, because
who does?
On the podcast, everybody. Yeah. Everyone who plays it bashes it, but they still play it, because it's, like, the only thing.
It's not there for the flash and the pizzazz. Like, you look at Hearthstone or whatever, it's like, fucking, this Blizzard, they got all this shit together. But, I mean, it's just, it's not Magic. It doesn't have that fucking Magic feel.
Hearthstone feels like a video game, where Magic Online feels like a digital representation of the paper game.
That's fair.
Exactly. That's exactly what
but it's
supposed
to be. But it just sucks because, like, you hook them with Duels of the Planeswalker, and then you're like, oh, yeah, you want to get serious? Well, let's hop in a time machine and go back 20 years, and then here's a computer program for you.
And, like, I don't even think Duels of the Planeswalkers explains a lot of the interaction and the phases well enough.
I learned the basic interactions with, like, just how a turn goes and little things, but I learned, like, the rules from Magic Online.
Yeah,
like that's where I learned, like, oh, I could fucking target a Planeswalker with shock. I didn't fucking know that until I started playing Magic Online.
Yeah, Magic Online's like fucking, if you want to learn how the stack works and, like, what the concept of the stack that is like fucking the go-to
no
place.
No speculation.
Because you go, like, do the Planeswalker, it's like, okay, that's cool, I'll learn how, like, the turn, the phases go, that's awesome, but you don't learn the interaction between, like, the players and the stack, and, like, how you can play on the stack, and, you know, how that whole sequence goes. And
passing priority.
Yeah,
that's
it's really
like, I hate it in Duels of the Planeswalker, you have to hit stop timer, and then I get to think about my card, but sometimes I'm thinking, and I miss the timer,
and then it goes
away. I'm just like, what is this?
Dude, I didn't, like, fully understand, like, the stack until, like, I don't know, fucking a couple of months ago? Like,
no,
fully understand the stack. Like, to translate to paper, like, when I was playing paper, I had to stop and, like, think about, like, okay, like, I'm trying to imagine, like, MTGO in my head, like, okay, what happens? Like, okay, defenders are declared, okay, I get priority, you get, you know, it's like...
Yeah, like, this happens before this, like, what triggers first? Like, oh my god.
Like, I feel like I've
triggers, all the triggers.
I finally got, like, the basic, like, fucking... The basics down.
Yeah,
I
don't think anyone knows how the stack works. It's kind of like a...
No shit, huh?
It's like the fucking Bermuda Triangle of Magic.
It's like a clitoris. Like, you know you're going to find it when you get older.
Yeah. Like, one day you hope that you'll be there.
You think you found it when you're younger, and then every year passes, you're like, damn, I didn't know it then.
I thought I knew
it. I still don't know it. Oh my god.
Like, I know it exists.
Yeah.
But
I've heard stories.
Yeah. Like Loch Ness.
I think they're fucking like cavemen.
There's an old sea captain down at the bar.
All right.
Well, let's touch on
the new shit.
Yeah, the new shit. Let's do the new shit.
I'm talking about More Than the Gods, man. That shit just came out yesterday. Well, today the recording is a Saturday, which is
the
8th. Yeah, and it came out yesterday.
Yesterday
for public.
So, I mean, we've been looking at the spoilers, but we actually got. I mean, the whole reason we're meeting up today and doing the podcast is that we're doing a 4-person draft. Just between the four of us, and so we're gonna actually open some fucking product and get some cards. me and Justin actually, or me and a quickness over here, went to a midnight like release event at the store. We didn't play; we just won some
product.
Oh, you
went last night, or the was it last night?
Friday night,
Thursday night.
And we went and got some product. He got fat pack. I actually bought some pre-release packs, which were like cheaper per pack. From what I was getting was like cheaper. Sure, they weren't all Born of the Gods, but it was like more bang for my buck. So
and the black pre-release was cheaper than the others for some reason.
Yeah, because the black pre-release promo
nobody wanted
sucks.
It?
It was like $3 cheaper just because, I don't know.
Probably the value of cards wasn't...
Is that the Regenerate dude or whatever that is?
That's the Eater of Hope. It's like...
6-4?
I think it's the one where you pay like you can 5 sack. And you sack X creatures, you bring X creatures from the graveyard, you pay 7 and you can bring it back from the graveyard to the top of your life.
Yeah, that's an expensive ass card to do everything, man.
I don't think the second ability is going to be that relevant. It's just too much because you have the 7 to put it back on top of your library.
Yeah, you waste your turn
to draw the card, and then you take your turn, all your mana to cast it again.
I think it's going to be okay in limited, but it's not going to see like standard.
What's its cost? What's it costed at?
It costs 6.
6?
The abilities are 5, 6, and 7.
All the promo cards.
5 and 7 are the abilities, 6 to cast.
So the Eater of Hope is a 5 and black for a 6/4 flyer. Pay 1 black, sacrifice another creature, regenerate Eater of Hope.
Oh,
like,
that's that one.
So like that. Well, this was the
pre-release. That's the one I was talking about at the beginning. Yes, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so that's not bad. For a 6/4 flyer that can regenerate whatever. And then the second ability is 2 and a black, sacrifice 2 other creatures, destroy target creature. So basically, like, you need, like, tokens. Like, that's what I see in my head. Is, like, tokens are a way to bring back shit from the graveyard.
You're gonna definitely need to pair it with the inspired token generators.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, like, if it's because we're just doing triple Born of the Gods today just so we can play with a bunch of new cards.
New cards are always better.
Like, in the full block, like, it'll be faster, but I think in triple Born of the Gods, like, it's gonna be fucking slow and clunky, and, like, you can have time to make this thing work in triple Born of the Gods, I think.
Yeah.
But in the whole set, like, if you drop the whole set, it's not gonna...
Well, I think it's actually better in the whole set, or,
the block?
It's better in Born of the Gods, triple Born of the Gods, because you have more chances to get the actual token generator.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Whereas if you do the Born of the Gods double Theros, you have less chance of hitting them. You might not even hit it, and so the card's kind of dead because you don't have a reliable way to abuse the ability.
In limited, I think there's like a bunch of like, it feels bombier in Born of the Gods. You know,
there's some good cards.
Yeah, because everything, a lot of the good cards are like really heavily costed to where it's like almost not worth playing because they're
like
so heavily
six,
costed.
7 mana.
Yeah, a lot of them were like 6-drop, 7-drops. I mean, there's like cycles, you know. So
I felt like the Born of the Gods is good for Theros. It brings a lot of early game stuff, which is good for like the heroic decks. Is what you need. You need a lot of those heroic enablers, and it also provides a lot of bombs.
Like the back end.
And, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 converted mana costs to help the decks that want to go long game.
What do you guys think of the gods this time around?
I think the gods are actually... The dual color gods are better than the mono color gods, I think. Just because in limited, when you have a mono color god, say you're doing triple Theros... you get, like, say, a Thassa, but, like, for pack one, pick one. But then you get shut off of blue. Thassa is kind of a dead card then because all you're using it for scry and unblockability because you're not going to be able to enable it.
Yeah.
But the dual color gods, you can get, like, Aphora, which is a blue-white one. It costs 1 more to turn online, but you could go Aphora, and then you can go mono-white and still turn Aphora on.
Yeah, essentially they cost just 1 more to turn online.
Oh, that's
because,
specific color, right?
Because with the mono god, it was, they had 1 color in their casting cost.
Yeah.
And then it was 5 to turn online.
5 colorless? Yeah.
No, 5. Or 5. 5 devotion.
Oh, 5 devotion.
So basically it was 4 devotion including that card.
Yes.
So these, have 2 colors. So like, you know, the devotion to either white or blue, but it has a white and blue in its casting cost. So basically you just need, you needed 4 for the 4 more for the mono gods, and then you need 5 more for the like dual gods.
Yeah, okay.
So I mean, it's not that, I think it might be a little bit easier to get these guys online.
Yeah.
Just because you have the
flexibility.
The flexibility of it. But I don't think so the blue white one. If you're not familiar with the gods, fucking look them up. I don't want to read the whole fucking card. But this one has the blue white one is another creature enters the battlefield under your control last turn, draw a card. Like, it's a 4-drop, so turn 6 you're getting something back. You're actually drawing a card.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't count itself.
No, because unless it can come in as a creature, but I don't think you can turn it on.
Well, it says another creature.
Oh, another creature, yeah.
So turn 5, you have something come into play, and then turn 6, you actually see a card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the guy.
It's pretty late, though, I mean, in a standard format, but I think limited probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of underwhelmed on the enchantment side of these gods in this go around.
I don't know, man. You see Xenagos?
Yeah, Xenagos.
Well, he's the best one. Yeah, like, let's work.
What color is he? Red, green? Oh yeah.
Let's work our way. Let's work our way up from the shitty ones. I think the next shittiest one is the green white one.
I think the green white one's the shittiest one, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I definitely think that's the shittiest.
It's the shittiest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, what is it? A 5 or 6 drop?
Yeah, it's a 5
drop. It's a 5 drop, and then you're going to play a creature turn 6, and then you're going to get what? A land? But by that time, I don't want any more lands.
Right.
You know, I don't
want any more. That land does not equal more cards. That land does not equal more creatures. It's going to cast bigger stuff, but you're already going to be there. I think it's not going to ramp anything up that you need.
Okay. So I totally agree. It's shitty. But just to play devil's advocate here, what you're doing each turn is increasing your chance to actually draw spells. Because when you cast something, you get to go get a land out of your deck. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you have the chance to draw your bombs, to draw spells, to come back in the late game. So your late game increases, you know? Because
you have to shuffle your library, though, once you pull it out, though, right?
Yeah, shuffle your library.
So I feel like it's good, but in a set that introduces Scry, I think it kind of works against itself, because if I'm going to scry, play land, I'm going to scry the turn, or I'm going to play something that's
then scries, you got to shuffle your shit.
And then I play a creature, then I have to pull land out, and then I have to shuffle away the scry that I just did, if I like to leave it on top.
I mean,
so there is that extra
it's Selesnya, to it. I mean, it's going to be bad. There's no way around it.
Yeah, it's definitely, I take it back, that is the worst god. With the blue-white one, you know, second worst.
Yeah.
And then,
at least the blue-white one, all your creatures say, whatever it does, draw a card. At least it replaces itself in a long match where you're probably going to talk about the Dimir god next.
Well,
blue-black is kind of a grindy archetype in this set, and that's really helps with it.
Well, let's look at these gods in limited and then in standard. You know, so let's talk about the Dimir god. So in limited, he's a fucking bomb.
Oh yeah,
because it's
Most of these gods. Pull one of these in limited, I mean, you're gonna be playing it.
They have effects basically every turn once it comes out, more or less. So that's great.
Phoenix is crazy in limited because you're playing a 40 card deck, so you're gonna mill them out so quick if you have creatures on the board.
Yeah, if you get them soon enough, then you're gonna get these high toughness creatures and just keep yourself alive and mill the fuck out of them.
Yeah, and maybe even get him online so he can fucking do some milling, but. Like in standard, sure you're gonna brew with him and maybe, I'm brewing a defender mill deck, but it's like, I don't plan on winning any fucking tournament.
You're not,
I plan on pissing you guys off of the deck.
Yeah, it's a good, fucking around, table magic is good, but if you're going tier one kind of magic, it's not there.
Yeah.
It does have the,
I don't think it was developed to be a tier one, kind of game.
Tier one.
Game changer.
So, yeah, I mean, I was actually hoping for a non-mill god. I love to mill. I'm a Dimir player for life.
What were you looking for, you think?
What would Dimir be besides, I mean?
Okay, well, Dimir,
discard cards?
Yeah, Dimir discards and draws cards.
Mm-hmm.
Play off the graveyard or something?
Yeah, play off the graveyard or something like that. Yeah. So, I was expecting, I was almost thinking, the old, Dimir, mage, or the fucking guild mage?
The guild mage?
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you pay something, target player draws a card, pay something, target player discards a card, or something like that. I was kind of hoping for that. But.
Well, I was going to say the added benefit to the Dimir god, it's a kind of minor upside. It allows you to, since you're playing high toughness creatures, you kind of want to go long game. It allows you to block. And then tap it to mill.
Right,
and
exactly.
Still allow it to block. So you're not giving up any advantage by, do I mill or do I have to block this turn? It's I can still protect my life total.
Yeah.
And still advance my game plan by milling you out.
Yeah, because my mill deck right now is complete control. I run little creatures and a lot of control just so I can get to the late game, just so I can get to my 5 drops. And, with this, you're going to be playing defensive creatures drop 2, 3, 4, 5 all the way up to the god.
Yeah.
So you're going to be protecting yourself as well as milling. So, I mean, I'm not as excited for him, but I definitely gonna brew with him. I'm not just gonna say he sucks and, not and go away. Side. You know. But okay, so Mogus. What do you guys think of Mogus?
I don't know. I haven't really looked at all the cards in this deck. I mean, but
so Mogus at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, he deals one damage to that player unless he or she sacrifices a creature.
That's definitely fucking Rakdos for sure.
To the core.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I still don't feel Rakdos is anywhere in any kind of playability yet. I mean, there might be with some of the, like,
Red's know. Looking kind of good in Born of the Gods.
Red's like good. Definitely good position.
Compared
but.
To like M14 and Theros, like Red's finally, I mean, I'm not that big of a Red player, but it's finally like looking like one of the little bit of a better color.
Yeah.
Black's up there with like, you know, Thoughtseize and stuff, but for like a limited like setting here, I don't know. I don't know about red black.
I think you'd have limited. To do some serious brewing to get him into standard.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the one thing I just like, he provides the inevitability. You have to answer it, or else you're just gonna die regardless.
And yeah. Limited, you probably won't have all those creatures to sack. You probably just have to take the two, which is fine. At least it affects the board. You know, it's a card that's gonna affect the board every time, which is nice.
It's gonna almost immediately affect the board.
Yeah,
I think Purphoros is better though. Well, still. Going back to Theros.
I think it's a toss-up, because with Purphoros, you need creatures to put on the board.
Right, but Red has a lot. It still has like a lot of cheap
creatures, tasty stuff.
The Young Pyromancer and stuff.
This one kind of works on its own, and it still provides that benefit.
Right.
But one thing I do like about this god is it keeps Planeswalkers in check as well.
Oh, yeah, because you can redirect
the damage to that. Yep. So say they play like a Kiora, and they plus it. Well, I mean, you're going to take it down.
You're going to win that race.
You're going to take it down to one. They're never going to be able to keep it. Mm-hmm. So it keeps a lot of those things in check for constructed. Even in, you know, limited, it's good, especially when you're facing down like an Elspeth. Yeah, they're getting the tokens, but they're never going to be able to alt it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair.
Yeah, it's bomby. It's definitely bomby for limited. I mean, if I pulled it, I'd play it.
Oh, yeah, definitely me too.
But I don't know if it's anywhere going towards standards. Like,
I'd pass that shit in a second.
I don't think anyone's going to be working too much with that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the best one, the obvious best one, is Xenagos.
Xenagos!
Was that red-green? Red-green?
It's red and something else.
Some other color. Oh, man. Yeah, Xenagos I am, like, so pumped about.
So at the beginning of combat on your turn, another target creature you control gains haste, so you can play a creature and have it attack that turn, and it gets plus X until end of turn, where X is the creature's power.
Yeah, what a little trick that thing is, dude. No, you never know. You're never ready for anything.
That thing affects the board drastically as soon as it comes into play.
Yeah.
Let's just say I don't want to be facing that card and then have them untap and play the green promo guy. And then I have to decide, do I attribute it, make it a 12-12, and then they can make it a 24-24 with haste.
Which one's the green promo guy?
The
Hydra?
Yes.
The one that makes him fight?
Yes. Yeah. The fight one.
Which nobody wants that anyway.
Yeah, nobody fights
into one of those, and it's just pretty much game over. Like, I'm going to concede. Like, unless I have a removal spell that says destroy target creature, I'm not coming back from that. I can chump, but I'm never going to be able to defeat those two cards.
Yeah, Xenagos is definitely almost automatic win the game if you have any other creatures.
Yeah, if you have any other kind of bombing creatures.
Unlimited, for sure. I feel like an auto concede almost.
Yeah, in standard, I think it's good position.
It's going to be like a two of in the red green decks, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be. I mean, Wizard wants my money, apparently.
Make sure you get some trample going with that, too. Yeah. To make it really worth it, get some trample
on that. Definitely getting some Gore Clan Rampagers out with this guy, for sure.
Gore Clan, Bone Ilea.
Nylea
herself. Yeah.
Then it'll all work out. Then you can just stomp over anything, dude. Oh yeah.
Sounds horrible.
There's a deck called Super Friends. It utilizes all the different types of good planeswalkers. I want to make a Super Friends deck, but it utilizes all the gods.
So we got a podcast exclusive.
I
want to
do, like, all these gods.
We got a podcast exclusive. We're going to go ahead and ban Xenagos God.
Yeah, he's immediately banned.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Sorry, guys. And, I mean, what other cards do you guys really stand out to you in the World of Gods?
What's the two red?
The two red, the Fire Dancer?
Fire Dancer, yeah. Mm. That's another one that's a big standout for me. So this is a Fire Dancer. It's actually a red, one colorless. It's a 1/1. It pretty much, it says that whenever an instant or sorcery spell you control deals damage to an opponent, Satyr Fire Dancer deals that much damage to target creature that player controls. I think this is cool for, like, any kind of fucking, you know, burn deck or anything like that.
Ugh, I actually saw...
It's like a Gutter Snipe, and then, you know, it just to play off those.
Yeah, exactly. Those cards. That Star City Open today is what we're doing the podcast right now. It's going on. Brad Nelson, I'm kind of a nerd, so I kind of remember these names, but... he's a top pro player, and he's actually playing a Boros deck with this guy in it. It's a Boros Burn.
Boros Burn is so good.
He uses, like, all the Burn, Chandra Phoenix, you know, Fire Drinker, Satyr.
Is it Charm also?
Things like that.
Oh, yeah, of course it's Charm.
Does crazy. He play Spark Trooper at all? Do you know?
I didn't see in the deck when he played. I didn't get
that. Spark Trooper?
It's the,
the 6/1.
It's a 6/1, like, with First Strike, Lifelink, Trample, and then you have to exile it at the end of your turn.
Yeah, it comes in with haste.
Oh,
it's
haste too. Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly.
So,
one time use. You just hit for 6 and gain 6 and it goes away.
It's really good. From what he was playing against a mono black deck and he won.
Nice.
So it's
that's something to say,
mono
right?
Black is kill that goddamn mono black. Top tier deck right now in standard, and able to take that down, even though as a pro player against somebody that wasn't really technically the high pro player, but it's a good deck. Mono black's a good deck, and to be able to beat it says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this is good, but for like a true burn deck, like I don't think you really care about their creatures all that much.
Well,
you know?
it's a plus to be able to clear.
It's
clear
a plus, but I think this
creatures.
Is more of a, would be like a mid rangey half burn half creature,
like a hybrid kind of.
Yeah, not deck. Like a true burn. Just doesn't give a shit.
You
about
can
your
stay
creatures.
Alive though too. If you can protect yourself by killing its creatures, it's kind of like a little 2-mana enchantment for the board. You know, you're not going to attack. You're not going to.
Yeah, it's pretty. You can get off the board real quick though.
It kind of turns all your burn spells into like pseudo 2-for-1s. You're not really getting a true 2-for-1 because you have to have the guy out on the board as well, so you're still taking up 2 cards.
Mm-hmm.
But all your burn spells become 2-for-1s. So if you have a lightning strike and they have a 3/3, you burn them to the face and then you kill their 3/3.
Right.
And then
right.
you can attack it.
I still think it's definitely good, but, meh. So there's the archetype cycle. Which
that's kind
of
cool.
I think most of them are crap.
It's a neat concept, but I don't think it's anything fun.
I think it's for limited mostly. Like
you guys don't like the boar. You guys are not.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about the boar.
You're not talking about eight mana for a boar.
The eight mana boar.
It would win the game if you're playing limited. If for some reason you brought the thing out, then the game would be over. But. Who the fuck is getting
it? And Constructed, let's just say, have fun trying to cast that.
No shit.
Yeah. Well, you'd be dead by then.
Yeah.
No.
So, the green archetype, creatures you control have hexproof, opponent's creatures lose, can't gain, hexproof. It's fucking 8 though. 8 for a 6/5?
It's one of those win more cards. When you cast this card,
you're already winning.
It's not like I'm behind, I'm at 2 life, they have like 5 creatures on the board. I'm gonna play this guy and I'm gonna win the game.
Right.
It's not gonna happen.
You're gonna solidify the win. You're gonna ensure that extra 10% that like I'm winning for
you. But you can't flip a game with it.
No, you can't turn the game around with this card.
You can't come back.
It doesn't do anything when you're behind.
I think, let's say that one for last. Okay, so the white one is, it's 1 white for 2/2, which is, it's okay, you know.
I think that's the best one, I'll just say.
Doesn't pass the vanilla test.
Yeah, to steal another podcast thing. The vanilla test.
Since it's double white.
2/2 for 3, so it's kinda, whatever. But, creatures you control have first strike, other creatures lose first strike, the opponent has, can't gain it. So.
I think it's the best card, simple as that. Low casting cost, I think that First Strike is gonna be able to, they're not gonna be able to attack, and you're always gonna be able to, I mean, this is great. If you had Vigilance too, you just attack every turn and they can't.
Like a white weenie shell or something?
What's that?
Is it like good on a white weenie shell? Something that's just low cost?
I think it's good for all the commons. If you had a bunch of commons.
Are you talking about for limited or?
For limited.
Okay.
If you had a bunch of commons and they're all just like 2/4s and bullshit like that, everything is just going to be able to hold its own. While not just being a little basic vanilla nothing, it's going to turn everything into something special. I think that's great.
Double block, kill.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I think the heroic decks are going to love this card.
Oh yeah.
Give all your heroic guys first strike? I think so. Yeah, it's perfect.
I think in limited it's going to be good and in standard. Me and Aquik were talking about this the other day. All the really super good, like, mid-range white cards are 1 white. If you look at them, there's so many good one white white cards that it's like, how is this guy ever going to fit in?
Three drops.
Just three drops in general.
You know, some, I also know another podcast, they said that there's a lack of three drops.
In white?
Not in white, but just in general of the metagame right now. So there's a lack of three drops.
Everything's going like more rampy, big.
Yeah.
If you're doing like super like low costed aggro, like fucking your highest converted mana cost is like three or, you know, two or whatever for these fast decks, though, or you get like the fucking mid range and you know, the late game.
Yeah.
I think a three is the perfect mana cost,
though. I think there's good three drops out there. I just don't think people are playing the good three drops because it's either hyper aggro or like grindy or maybe mid range. So like three drop isn't getting love right now because just the style of the metagame.
I think it's Thoughtseize. Thoughtseize has a lot of problems with a lot of these lower end
commanders. Cause you just fuck up their curve.
You're right off the bat. I mean, you're getting Thoughtseize. You're already fucking.
Or you Thoughtseize their bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's, Thoughtseize is a very, meta warping card that I felt like kind of needed to be around because it's kind of a bomb set. So you want to make sure you can get those out of their hands.
Definitely think it's in the right format.
It changed it so much that like everybody's playing so protective that you can't really go that deep just because the card's around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice to get a god out of the hand also because that's hard to deal with. It's all kinds of stuff, you know, besides just the standard bombs.
Oh, unlimited, it's like a super bomb, you know? But, so the blue one is, four blue, for a 3/2. 6 mana for a 3/2. Creatures you control have flying. Creatures your opponents, you know, lose flying, can't gain flying. So, shitty body. Shitty body for 6 mana. But, it gives all your creatures fucking evasion.
Yeah.
It's almost like a fucking Alpha Strike when when you put it down, you could possibly, if you have enough creatures, just fly over them.
This feels like Windmar, though, too. Even in limited.
It's a little Windmar.
Yeah,
but I still feel like it's a limited bomb. I feel Constructed will never fucking see the light of day.
I'm actually going to put one of these in my control decks. Yeah. I'm going to pair it with Elspeth, and all my tokens, they're just going to go right over.
You're not.
Right over.
You're not.
It's going to happen. And then I'm going to alt Elspeth, and then I'm going to have Spear Helion.
You're going to play it, and we're going to be like, and it's going to die right away, and you're like, fucking 6 mana.
Yeah, I just tapped out for this.
I could have put an Elspeth.
I already have an Elspeth on the board.
You have two.
Yeah,
exactly. That one's
going to
die anyway.
You know how that works?
We always kill the first one, but when you bring out the second one, we're like, well, we already used our other one. I don't have anything else for that.
Fuck. All right, that's pretty far though. You're reaching down the rabbit hole for that one.
I don't know.
You can't overlook something as evasion.
Evasion's really good.
Even though the body is kind of crappy, they're gonna have to have a removal spell because I'm not gonna attack with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm not gonna.
Well, what about just
like two mana
Thassa unblockable stuff or it's just something like that? It's. You don't need to, well, I guess you need, for that one, you had to get through all your creatures, not just one. But most
with
decks,
Thassa,
you know.
I have to spend 2 mana per creature, and then I have to get them through. This one, I spent a one-time investment of 6, and then all I have to do is protect it, and I have inevitability.
I guess if you have some counters or something like that, but.
So, the next one, I think, is probably the worst one of all. Unfortunately, the black one.
I have 3 of them, if anyone wants to trade me for some good cards.
The black one is 4 black for a 2/3. Creatures you control have death touch. Creatures your opponents control lose and can't get death touch.
Death touch.
I mean, okay.
Nothing beats
best death touch. Best case scenario, they don't have any flyers, and you can stop them from attacking, and they don't have trample.
You can effectively trade your crappy 2/2 bear.
You can trade up
for their huge monster or whatever.
Yeah, you can definitely trade up, but I just it's. It feels like the worst one to me.
It's weird.
I love Death Touch. I love black. Worst one.
It's weird, though. I understand it's taken away a keyword, but when you print an artifact that grants Death Touch, I'd much rather put that card in my deck, limited deck, rather than this card.
Are you talking about the Gorgon's head?
Yeah. I'd rather, because it's, I mean, I can just keep swapping it out.
It's
harder to get rid of. There's not a lot of artifact hate in this set, especially since it's very enchantment based. Yeah. I just much rather have that. It's more flexible. It's, you know, it's recurring. You know, I don't have to have double black as well. So like, even if I'm trying to splash black and put this card in, which I'd never do, but.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's the worst one.
I think you're the worst one.
Yeah. So the red one is 1 red for a 3/2. Creatures you get have trample, other creatures lose trample.
Who doesn't like Trample?
I think it's... I personally think it's the best one.
Yeah.
Really?
Trample?
Yeah.
You think it's the best one?
I think it's the best one.
I think it's good. I still think the whites... My vote is the white.
Flying is really hard to beat, as in terms of, like, utility.
I think flying and first strike.
But the cost, I think, is just...
So, vanilla-wise, it's the best one.
Vanilla-wise.
So, it's a 3-2 for 3.
So, at its lowest point, it's probably the second best one.
3-2 for 3 that gives everything trample. Yeah. You'll probably be pairing it with green, because you want big fatties to run shit over. Yeah. So, if you do pair it with green, I think it's going to be...
This is limited, you're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking
limited.
About,
okay. Because I don't think this is going to be playable.
No.
A lot of these cards...
If you want trample, there's other ways to get it.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
much I have a night.
We have to
indestructible. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And then you can pump stuff.
These are my initial thoughts for standard on these cards. You'd have to let me sit down and maybe brew with them for a little bit to actually. And plus, I'm not a fucking pro. None of us are pro players, so
speak for yourself.
We don't necessarily have the keen eye for this shit. But I think that one's the best. I mean, was there any other cards that really stuck out to you? Like,
there's some I think they're mixed color cards in here that.
You have to check that out.
I haven't really looked through every single one of them.
Okay, there's one card I want to touch on. That is the Simic one, the Kiora's Follower. It's a 2 mana, 2/2, untapped target, permanent.
I'm going to break that
another card. Target, permanent. That's the thing, is I don't know what it's going to do yet, but when I see, if I ever see online a playset in someone's deck, I'm going to go, what the fuck is he thinking? What is he planning to do? What is he going to
surprise
There's
definitely
going to
be some shenanigans.
Right.
I'm going to bring it to the table.
What is that? The Voyaging Satyr or whatever it is?
The Voyaging
Satyr.
But that untaps lands.
This one untaps
a target permanent.
And it's one more
limited,
power.
It's great. I think, especially since there's Inspired in the set.
Exactly.
Inspired.
A lot of the Inspired shit, they're 1/1s or 2/1s.
Yeah.
You can't attack with them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How the fuck are you going to get untap if you can't get it to tap?
Yeah, exactly.
So you have something like that, and then, oh, God, it's awesome. Or this, and then the Springleaf Drum.
Yeah.
Because you get to play the same
Springleaf
thing.
Springleaf Drum
I got
tap
no play
it,
this turn.
This
yeah.
to untap it. But
tap all your Inspired guys, get the benefit without
You only do one per turn, though, because you have to tap the...
I'm saying if you have Springleaf Drum, you tap the Springleaf Drum and the creature, and then you use the Follower to untap the Springleaf Drum,
and then tap
another creature. So, so that way you get your Inspired guys to tap without actually losing them, because most of them, or a lot of them, are fragile.
Right. If you start doing that, then you get to start paying... the cost of the Inspired, instead of start bringing out shit out of your hand, you can kind of just, if you get a little bit of setup on the board, you can just start paying, free guys can be coming out. Yeah.
If you're ahead, you gain card advantage, because you don't have to play cards.
Sick.
Another thing is I want to do the Illusionist Bracers combo with this guy, where it's an artifact, you equip it, and whenever an activated ability is triggered, you get to copy it. So not only do I untap one permanent, I can untap another permanent as well. So I untap one thing, and I untap that, and then I trigger it again.
Why don't you just play fucking the blue Cypher?
Cypher?
Yeah.
It's because you actually, to get the Cypher, you bring it out, you Cypher, you get the effect. Then you Cypher it on the card. Then you actually have to attack in
you have to
and
get
damage
through.
In to get the Cypher
I was thinking there's another blue one that lets you... tap and untap two.
As many times as you want?
No, but it's two.
This is what I'm saying.
You want unlimited power.
I'm trying to combo off here. I'm trying to kill you in one turn. All I have to do is get it set up. That's the objective here.
Justin, you talk about these decks all the time. And I want to see the combo.
You're still going to win the lands. I need lands
the
to
lands
cast
can't attack.
Hey, if they could kill them.
I know. The other good card in this whole set is the tribute. I think the tribute ability is pretty cool. I don't know, how they're going to play out in standard, but the red-green, the Fanatic of Xenagos, it's red-green one color, so it's 3 mana. It's a 3/3. But it has the tribute ability. So tribute says that essentially when the creature enters the battlefield, if tribute is not paid, it gets a certain ability or a certain plus side. So for the Fanatic of Xenagos, it's tribute is 1. So whenever Fanatic of Xenagos enters the battlefield, if tribute wasn't paid, it gets a +1/+1 and gains haste until end of turn. And this is a 3/3 starting out. So if you pay the tribute, right, it's going to get +1/+1, so it's going to be
a 4/4
for 3. And if you don't pay the tribute, is going to be a 4-4.
With haste.
With haste.
And then turn into a 3-3.
Yeah. For, and it's just, this seems like a great, freaking Gruul aggro card.
I think it's the, like with the tribute cards, it's like there's a floor and a ceiling, meaning like worst case scenario, best case scenario. This is the narrowest of them all to where it's like either way, you're like fucking sweet. So
this puts you in a hard spot.
That's what you're looking for at these is the gap.
Yeah, this one has a tiny gap.
You pretty much have two cards on one
card.
Your
mom has a tiny gap.
The more similar the choices are, the better it is.
Yeah. So the thing is with tribute, I feel that it's always going to be in favor of your opponent because he has a choice. I know that it's going to be you know, a hard hit either way, whatever he chooses, but he's never going to choose the one that's going to hurt the most. He's always going to choose the one that hurts the least. So I don't like giving him the advantage to do that. I mean, if you have something in your hand that's like, haha, I tricked you and now I put something down, but that's probably going to be rare. It's more going to be like, whatever's going to be advantageous to him, he knows it, he'll choose it, and that's the end of it, I think.
Well, on the flip side of that, though, too, is you also get information from your opponent. Can they deal with this creature? Or
that's
can,
fair.
Can
if they, he, leaves, deal with if this he leaves it bigger, then it's like, well,
if they, deal with, if they say, okay, go have the bigger creature, it's like, okay, they got some removal or
right,
some
that's
way to
fair.
Deal with
that's
it.
Fair.
So there is that other side to it, but I think it's more of the two halves. The closer they are, the harder and the better it is.
Yeah, the judgment call is going to be they'll put them more difficult. Like, I mean, for this one, it's like, okay, yeah, I won't pay the tribute and I'll just go ahead and take four right now because he's going to have haste. But then he's just going to be a 3-3 and I can deal with him with a shot.
What if that 4-4 with haste, you know, didn't
a lightning strike
wasn't going to do anything? Then it's like you kind of.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
you got a free 1-1 counter taken off of it. You know?
If you're in the position on like turn 3 where you can reliably say, okay, yeah, I can get rid of this 4-4,
right.
No problem. That's like, yeah, pay the tribute.
I don't think there's a lot in the format.
But I mean, that's really aggressive.
That's a really good card. I say for the tribute thing, that card is awesome. Awesome 3-drop.
Definitely in limited, it's awesome.
And constructed.
I think it's definitely playable. And also, just to go back one sec to the tap on tap guy, the follower. I think there's going to be some sweet brews with him. Like there's
someone's out there's going to break it.
I'm a brew master.
What I'm really cool, like excited about this set is all the fucking Minotaurs. Because like Minotaur, I think tribal, it could possibly.
Weren't you just talking shit about Minotaurs?
I was talking shit about some Minotaurs a little while ago.
God damn.
But no, I think Minotaur tribal could be a thing, like, in standard coming up. Like, even not gonna be like tier one, but I mean, I think it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be tier zero.
It'll be so good. It's gonna go negative tiers.
Yeah, exactly. And then your opponents have all the tiers.
Yeah. You're gonna give them an advantage. It's gonna be so good.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I agree with Reich here that I like the idea of a tribal, theme in the set because we don't really have that right now. And if you, I know Corey or fucking Knife City was talking about earlier in the podcast that, how we're new, we don't know all these older cards and how other podcasts, you know, relate them because they're similar effects. But, you know, you look in older formats, they have a lot of tribal themes.
Yeah, like goblins.
Goblins.
That sounds so fun to play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like elves. I want to play elves.
Exactly. I like that type of stuff. I don't like where the Minotaur's at right now just because I don't think they have enough support to really make it, like, into, something that's really good. Because right now it's about a lot of counters, about a lot of attacking.
Do you think it's good with all, like, the red burn stuff? You know, like all that stuff that's coming out?
I think
like,
I think
a little bit of a mix.
In the Minotaur deck, it fits because I feel like it's a very aggressive, it's kind of an aggro-y type deck. Like, you want to unload your hand and turn everything sideways and put the pressure on.
Yeah, so unfortunately, the mana curve is shit with Minotaurs. There's only one and two.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Rakdos, Cracklers, and all that stuff, but it doesn't have the synergy. It just is a good card.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's not the synergy there yet. Because if you look back to the older, like the, you know, look back to fairies, goblins, elves, and the older sets, they have, like, a lot of other cool supportive cards, like a lot of tribal cards that aren't creatures. But there's spells or enchantments that also benefit because it is a tribal card as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you think they're like scared to like make something tribal and then like give it enough support to where it's like just crazy? Because I think they
probably
because everyone was all like, you know, hyped up about slivers. I think they had to like nerf them.
Well,
the slivers of the old days,
right, was like fucking awesome. I hear, but I mean the new slivers, because it was just too good. I think
whenever you played a sliver. Every other sliver got the effect.
Yeah, it was
not only yours, but your opponent's as well.
So they kind of Yeah. They're like, yeah, go ahead and play that. That'll be cool. I'll get it too.
Yeah, exactly. Now it only affects your creatures and stuff like that. But like you were saying, I think they are afraid to make a tribal thing too
powerful.
Yeah. So if you look back to Elves is still a huge deck, even a Legacy now, and they had to ban cards that went in the Elves decks because it blew everything else out of the water. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Well, not to sidetrack, but I think that's why I like I'm Standard and Limited, that's my main things, but I'm starting to get into Commander. I think we're all starting to get into Commander, but I'm like super excited about Commander because that's the whole fucking point, is to build a tribal deck. A theme, that's what I fucking like. Yeah, I want a whole bunch of fucking zombies to come back from the dead. Exactly. Yeah. I don't think that there's going to be much of a tribal thing.
I was glad to see more Minotaurs. We'll see what like the next Minotaurs set brings. But
I wanted to see dragons. I was hoping
dragons would be nice,
but like, you know, they'd have some strong. Once again, has the same problem. There's not enough rampy like the low mana cost creatures. There's not enough of that. Yeah. Like they have the egg. The egg is sick, but it's not like it's not great. Yeah. It's just fun. But
the 0/1/1 drop.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, which is same thing. Like if it's a slower game, then you just can tap all your mana and just hit him until it's gone, and then you start playing your hand.
Yeah.
But I would hold my hand and just throw down lands and whatever little enchantment stuff and just use that creature until it's fucking gone. Just like the Fire Drinker or something like that, you know? But that's all you got. And then you have to wait till fucking 4 mana to drop anything
good. Well, it's like if you want to play dragons, you instantly have to pair with green because green has all the ramp. And all the dragons are going to be like 5, 6, 7, 8 drops.
Yeah,
and
they're so, fucking fatties.
Like you were saying, you don't have like the supportive like early game to get you there, so you have to pair it with green.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go red-green, and I don't feel like that's any kind of fun. Like, I don't want to be forced into I'm not saying red-green's not fun, but I don't want to have to be... If I want to play dragons...
I think that's fine words right now.
Oh, yeah, we can take this on the battlefield. We'll see how it plays out, you know.
We don't have an hour.
Yeah. True.
Oh, man.
So, obviously, I'm excited about some black cards. So Painseer, everyone's comparing him.
The hypiest type.
Yeah, everyone's comparing him to some fucking old card.
Bob.
Yeah.
Dark Confidant.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about the old cards. So I'm just looking at this card in a vacuum. I don't care about comparing him. So he's not.
Later. Those conversations.
He's not all that great, but I think I found a home for him because I'm brewing a humans deck with Xanthrid Necromancer and just a fucking. Curving out, topping out the curve at 3,
right.
And just playing all humans and fucking this guy, because if I'm gonna be playing like an aggro, flood the board with my fucking humans, I'm gonna need some reliable way to
get cards.
Cards.
Yeah, your hand's gonna be empty really quick, and then you're like, I need money to flood the board way more, like shit's dying, and I just have to draw one and be like,
fucking to land!
Yeah, ramp has that same problem, it's like you get all your shit on the board and then you don't have any more card advantage,
I plan on playing like, you know, God's Willing, Buna Erebos, and also playing the 3/2 Death Touch that came out in Theros.
Agent of Fates.
What about
Read the Bones?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
If you don't care about losing life, you know.
Well, the thing is, like, so Painseer, if he untaps and I get a card, great. If not, hopefully I'll have Xanthrid Necromancer out, and if he dies, I still get a zombie out of it. So it's like, either way, I don't care if I actually get the inspired effect. It will be nice, that's the whole reason I'm putting him in here. But if he dies, whatever, because Xanthrid Necromancer, he's gonna bring back my shit. So I don't really care if my shit dies, you know? But that's the only plausible deck he could go in. Other than that, I'm not all that excited about him. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Why is he $5? Get that shit out of here.
Yeah.
Now that you brought up Read the Bones, like, for me personally, like, if it was, like, I was going to decide if I wanted a 2/2 body that could possibly draw me a card, or I can take 2 life and I draw 2 cards regardless.
And scry.
Yeah, you scry those 2 cards, and then you draw.
I think for me personally, I'd much rather have the 2 cards and get those 2 cards right now.
Right, right.
You know, it definitely makes sense in your humans deck because it is a human. You do get at least a zombie out of it if you have a Xanthrid Necromancer, but.
Would you play a whip or something in that?
No, it would top out at 3.
Okay.
It would top out with like, Banisher Priest and,
What about the double strike guy?
Agent of Fates. Like I said, there's so many good 3 drops in 1 white-white, and there's some good ones in black to where it's just hard. So I'm going to have to like brew with it.
Yeah.
But the double strike guy I was thinking of.
It's a bomb, dude. It's for the white and all that stuff.
And I was also thinking of, what's the one from M14? Didn't you trade me? You gave me the one?
Hmm.
The card. That doesn't matter.
The one with the hair.
No, the Fiend Slayer palette.
Fiend Slayer palette. Yeah, that one's... I don't know. I gotta have to fuck around with
it. I like Fiend Slayer.
Yeah.
The guy with the lightsaber?
Yeah. And so the other black card I'm really excited about is Guild.
Yeah.
There's nothing I love more than black unconditional removal. And so...
It's the best kind of removal,
It's the
too.
Best kind of removal, because I don't give a fuck about your indestructibility. I don't give a fuck about your million health. Like, it is fucking...
I don't care about your voice of resurgence.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not... Yeah. I didn't even think about that. They're fucking sweet.
That's the only reliable way to get rid of that
and
card.
And it's not conditional. All the exile ones are like exile attacking creature, exile tapped creature,
or exile
it's
white.
It all has a condition. This one is like, I don't care what you are, it's going away.
And you get mana back
Yeah,
for
and
it.
Put a colorless artifact token named Gold onto the battlefield, sacrifice.
So it is like, if you think about it, it's kind of like a 3-mana card because you get to, you spend it later on. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice card to go.
Yeah.
And also, you have possible lines of play where people might try to destroy your artifact that you got from it because they don't want you to have that mana. Like, they could be in a point where, you could represent something where they're not able to attack, so they're going to try to kill it so that you can go in and get those.
I think if they were to try and destroy the artifact, then I would be happy if they went after it.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yes.
I would be happy for them to do that.
Like, waste a putrefy on
it
or something?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Like, hell yeah. Other than that, like, I'm
I think we're all ignoring the elephant in the room at this point.
Well, what's
that? And that elephant is Chromatic Core.
Who bought a playset? Right here. Fucking.
Okay.
I'm excited as ever about that card. I love it.
Okay.
It's silly and everyone's going to hate me, but I don't give a fuck. I love it. My favorite.
Okay, so it's one of every color. Or what they call Uber. Apparently they call it Uber.
Is there a name for it? Uber?
Uberg?
Uber, because it's Uber? White, blue, the first. Uber.
Whatever.
God. That's too complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's a 4/4 for 5. It has flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, lifelink, and it has bestow for 7.
Two Wooburg.
So, like, okay, I understand, like, the card's awesome, and if you can actually play it, like, it's gonna dramatically affect the board. What fucking deck are you gonna put this in? Like, explain the deck.
The deck that plays everything.
I just wanna know how many cards you have to devote just to cast to that card.
It's all the cards.
Oh.
You build a deck with 59 lands and then this one card.
You know what I got so far? I got lanterns and the 2-mana plant that gets any mana and
the hexproof
one, yeah. And that's where I'm at so far.
What is the yeah,
I love it. See, I would totally be on board with the card, and they couldn't obviously put it in there because the type line's not big enough, but if it said legendary on it.
New commander.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna play all the good spells.
Now, this is silly, but what if, like, for a Sliver deck? You're playing every color anyways.
Yeah, you could, but that's the thing.
And it has
thing.
Everything a Sliver already has all in one, and you get to just, you have, like, your Sliver, your combo in, like, 3 abilities, and then you get to just bestow it onto one, your little guy and fucking do some major damage. And he die. Anyways, I think it's real
Trust
cool.
Trust me, I love little gimmicks like that. That's why I run Maze's End. That's why I'm going to try to break
I was just going to say, would you consider putting one of these in your Maze's End deck?
Yes, you would.
No.
Tell you
what? The new version of
one
my Maze's End deck doesn't run any creatures.
Really?
Yes, I'm going to be running, like, 20 fogs in the deck. And my main thing... Yeah.
See, these will help you right here. These Sylvan Keratids. You can add one color of any mana.
I saw the names. The name sucks.
My main thing is it takes one card in your deck to play it, right? How many supportive cards do you need to take in your deck to be able to cast it? How long is it going to take to cast?
No, you're making the rest of your deck weaker just to do this card.
In limited,
absolutely.
Yes. In limited,
I'm loving it.
Yeah,
fucking love it.
But I love little things like this that like nobody else really does. I like it. That's why I did Maze's End.
Now, what about Maze's End, if you were to get that podium card? You know, that gets +1 to all legendaries. And because you're already playing all these different fucking colors, you play some rampy cards, and you play a bunch of crazy legendary cards, and Chromatic Cores, and call it a fucking deck. Like, it's just a...
Well, Chromatic Core is not legendary.
Yeah.
I know. But that's the only card that's not legendary. Everything else you play legendary. It'd be whatever colors you want.
There's not a good...
You can play the Obzadats and all kinds of weird
shit.
But
I mean, like, the low enough curve filler. Yeah. Would you just do like
or you just mana? Wait, you just take all the well, take all the
yeah, that's the thing. You have to convert so many cards to actually cast those cards. You have to
remember I have play like three lanterns. Four lanterns.
Yeah, I understand, but then again you have to actually draw the lanterns, they have to stick. You have to have all five colors at once, and then you have to have like legendaries that kind of like work together, kind of, and then you kind of have to like protect it because you're going to turn 6, 7, 8. Usually, cards or decks like that run some form of control in a way, or like very heavy removal. I think it's just there's too much in one deck.
I think it's all fair. I think all your points are valid.
Yeah.
I'm barely listening. Barely listening because I know I'm wrong, but it feels right. You know, you gotta follow. You gotta
how
follow.
How can something so wrong? It feels so right.
I'm following my dick. You know, the heart or the brain saying this, the dick saying I gotta go Chromanticore.
You want to do it? You got to do it. I mean, you can't.
I think it's gonna be a fun like kitchen table deck.
Oh yeah,
like,
definitely.
I definitely want to see it.
I want
to. I just want the card to have the card.
If you're gonna be playing that deck, all I know is I'm gonna be playing Peak Eruptions, four of them.
Oh, just destroy lands?
I'm going to make sure you
land destruction all day, every day.
Kill your mountains. Kill all your mountains.
Get that out of here. Oh, you need that red? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm excited for one more card, and it's not even that great of a card, but I have this, like, utopia idea of a fucking discard deck in my head, because when, like, Innistrad was still standard legal before the rotation, I had a rat deck, and it was just based off a discard. And the less cards you have in your hand, the more damage you're going to be taking, blah, blah, blah. So they spoiled a card for M15. It's one colorless, one black, and it's if an opponent discards creature card, do X. If an opponent discards land card, do Y. If an opponent spell card or instant or sorcery, do Z. So I'm going to get something good when you discard something. So I want to make a discard deck, and I think Siren of the Silent Song is going to go good. It's one blue-black. It's a flyer, 2/1. Inspired, whenever this dude becomes untapped, each opponent discards a card, and then you mill a card. So, I mean, the milling isn't all that important, but I'm just kind of excited for it. Cause
there's some great ideas. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff that you can...
I'm definitely going to like brew a deck, but, yeah. I mean, This is just like, hopefully in the future, I'm excited. It's not going to do anything. It'll be all right and limited. It's not going to do anything in standard right now. Probably wouldn't even do anything in standard when I brew the deck when it actually comes out. But I think it's just going to be fun and piss you guys off.
But it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Fun is where it's at. You can play like one of those, the fog, turbo fog decks. Likes those. Yeah. This, you know,
my really, deck, really quick. I've got 20 fog effects.
Okay, we're not going to have this card. But can we just really quick just talk about the Brahmaz or whatever?
Oh, Brahmaz, the King of Oreos.
Just because it's the best card in the deck, okay. So I just want to say...
In the set?
I'm not spending 30 bucks on this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, so fucking...
If I pull it, I'm selling it.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
You sell to me.
Here, read it out. What's so great about this guy, dude?
Okay, so this guy is probably the best card in the set.
Have you not heard?
I have not heard.
Have you not heard? The Brahmaz?
That's the word.
Okay, so it's one white for a 3/4. Already,
yeah.
White doesn't get aggressive stats.
It's already
like
broken. Banned
3/4 for yeah. 3. Fuck yeah.
Okay, it has vigilance. Who wouldn't be happy if the text
passes,
ended there?
Passes right there. Right, $30. Right. Yeah. Take my money.
Yeah, exactly. That would already be a fucking great card. Also, it has whenever Brahmaz attacks, put a 1/1 white cat soldier creature token with vigilance on the battlefield.
So when you're attacking, you're getting more upsides.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you thought it ended there? You still want to pay $30? Well, guess what?
Guess what it can do.
Guess what? Boom. Whenever he blocks, put a 1/1 white cat soldier creature fucking million word token with vigilance onto the battlefield.
Right.
Blocking.
So you can get two
that
tokens
creature.
Every
blocking,
rotation.
Blocking that creature.
That Brian is
yeah,
blocking.
It has to yeah. block the same creature.
So it can become, you have a 4/5.
A 4/5.
Split in two bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So this card is... It's like, this is what we want Chromanticore to be, because this is just buttloads of crazy packed into a fucking 3-mana card.
How did they get all those
words
on that one?
I know,
right?
I think they had to print some on the back. But this is just nuts. It has so much fucking shit. You know what it reminds me of? It's like fucking Vampire Nighthawk in white.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just giving you so much. It's not like
so much value for so little.
It's not a bomb that's going to, like, if you... It's not like a fucking 8-drop that's going to win you the game, but you're getting so much fucking value for 3 mana.
Right.
That it's
so all the powerful. Decks I've seen play 4 of them, even though it's legendary. Like, they don't give a fuck. Like, that shit is going to be on the board.
You got to play 4 Palookanos.
Yeah, it's got to be on the board. They don't care, you know. It has to, every time you play a game, you have to put that shit on the board.
That is broken, though.
It's
pretty good.
Hey, so how long are we going with this shit?
What?
We're at 1:08 right now.
An hour 8?
Hour 8.
I don't know, so we fucking
didn't we
got
do 2 hours last time?
Yeah, we did.
No, that's cool. I'm just curious.
So, like, we have nothing left to talk about.
Do we have a standard for the listeners of what to expect? Because, you know, every time I might hear, I kind of have a feeling about the certain podcasts are an hour and a half every time.
Yeah.
Within reason, you know, unless we have, like, a guest or this and that. You
yeah.
know? And by guest, I mean a nobody that nobody else knows except for us.
Yeah,
yeah.
That'll be the best like guest.
Yeah, best guest ever.
Yeah, let's bring my girlfriend on.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about Magic. Oh, I fucking hate it. Play it too much. Spend too much money on it.
I don't think there. I mean, like, I don't think there should be a standard. Like, I don't want to do like a half an hour podcast.
No.
That's fine. You know, but. You know, anywhere between like an hour and 3 hours.
Well, as long
3 hours is a little much. Like, I don't want to hear myself talk for fucking 3 hours. I don't want to hear you talk for 3 hours. Like, I think you should go home right now.
Exactly. I think it should be like hour to 2 hours. You know, standard. But I think as long as we at least provide the listeners with some form of information,
a lot of
they can learn, they can improve their play, and they kind of know what's happening in the community.
I feel like our listeners are going to just be better than us already. They're probably listening.
No, they're already listening to us.
They probably are.
You guys don't know what you're talking about. See,
this podcast is for people like us, and if, you know, people better than us want to listen, then they can, you know, continue feeling better about themselves. They're like, man, dude. I am a good Magic player.
They just say, have you heard this new comedy podcast?
Yeah.
Don't feel bad at laughing at us.
They mentioned magic, but it's mostly just funny.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it should be.
Okay, so, I'm done looking at the new cards. What about you guys? You done talking about?
I want to go over like the meta. Like, what are we gonna see? Like, is this gonna change? Is there anything in here that you think is gonna completely change the meta that's out there right now in standard?
Like
standard meta, I feel like it's pretty solidified. Like,
so anything no matter that's what gonna, you throw in there, anything that's gonna affect like the current meta right now that it just came out.
Like, say, like, so right now we have what? Like, mono blue is like fucking top dog. We have mono black top dog. We have control. Then,
yeah, the blue-white X control.
Yeah, those are like...
So those are the main three.
Those, I would say, are probably the top three, like the best of the best. Like, you can... This is bread and butter kind of stuff now.
That's 75% of the metagame, and then the other 25% is just all the other decks.
Yeah,
I feel like right now.
But, I don't see too many cards in this set right now coming out that's going to maybe change that too much. I mean...
You know what I see? When I look at this set,
I think it's going to bolster
it. I see a lot of cards like Desecration Demon. They don't have a home right now, but once rotation hits, some of these cards are gonna fucking skyrocket.
Yeah, I'm sure once Ravnica goes away and like Gatecrash and
a little bit. Is it stink?
Yes.
Oh no! Oh, the little one.
I didn't hear it. You snuck it out, dude. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Be glad you're on the other end.
Yeah. Apologize.
It kind of startled me.
Sorry. What is
there a dead rat in here?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's when I look at the set, most of the things.
You're thinking of future, like this is something that's gonna be like, there's top dogs right now that are out there, and then once there's got the top guys go away, there's gonna be some of the cards that are gonna rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
They'd be like, hey, now that these guys aren't in play, like, hey, I'm the next kid on the block.
There's some good, I feel like Mono Blue got some good stuff, like, it might not use this stuff. But like, there's a lot of good mono blue.
More ammo out there. You have more options.
So when rotation does hit, like, mono blue might still be a thing.
I think these mono color decks are going away once rotation goes out.
Yeah,
you're
probably.
You're losing all your enablers, all of them.
Yeah,
every single one. There's not even good replacements for it in this set that can even compete. Those older ones.
I can't wait for them to go away. I don't like mono decks.
Because you're losing Nightveil, you're losing Frostburn, you're losing
unless it's mono red. Mono red should stay forever. Mono red's never going anywhere. Everything else go away.
Underworld Connection.
Mono decks are easy to play. They're simply put, like, you know, I don't know, they're just like a reliable thing, and that kind of makes them boring a little bit. A little bit boring when things are so, like, the ramp is already set, like, you know, you just know what to play, and it's like, there's not a lot of brewing there. You just like, this is the best for this.
I think, like, the current monocolor decks are boring, just because, so those three decks we just mentioned, the blue, and then the black, and then the, you know, control.
The blue X, whatever.
Yeah. Dude, that's almost all of the metagame, so it's like, fucking boring.
Well, a little bit.
There's three king decks right now.
Well, control wasn't around for a while, like, I mean, Control's around, but it wasn't like a main key player.
They had to figure it out.
Until now, I think Control's really good.
But I mean, like, it's just, it's boring.
Yeah.
So I can't wait till things get shaken up to where there's a little bit more than just three fucking top tier decks and everything is tier two.
No, what I just hate, I hate Thoughtseize is in fucking one of these, the sets, not in a core. They should have put M14 so they don't have to reprint it. Now we're stuck with Thoughtseize for like another like year and a half or whatever.
No shit.
I'm down with that.
Oh man, I know you all about that Thoughtseize, but me is just that's harsh. I got
four of them, so I'm good.
That hurts.
I think Mono Blue and Mono Black got a couple extra cards they can use.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that much ammo. I think we're seeing a setup for Mono Green and Mono White decks to emerge in the set.
White definitely got better.
Yeah, white, I can see white.
Mono white is definitely good, especially if you pair it with, you know, you splash it with red for all the good Boros, like Boros charms, things like that.
White has a fucking sweet, like mana, you know, like the ramp, you know what I mean? Like one drops, two drops, three drops.
You mean the curve?
The curve, I'm sorry. See, exactly. White has just that perfect curve. Yeah. There's so many options. Like, what twos do I want? What threes do I want? I don't know. There's so much fucking shit there. It's whatever direction you want to go. You want to go heroic? Do you want to go with, like, devotion type stuff, you know?
Got a nice curve to the left.
Do you want
to
beat down? Do you want to control?
Right. There's so much in there. It's fantastic. But I don't, you're right. It doesn't have it. Like, it's not perfect yet. But there's just a lot of options, you know? Tons and tons of options.
Okay, so let's think of, like, the tier two decks that are out there right now.
I say red green's probably tier two right now.
It's probably about 1.5.
It's like, it's almost there. I don't know the cards that are coming out. I mean, Xenagos could be a big factor.
Xenagos. Hey, is your Maze's End, is the Maze's End, is that like a 1.5?
That's like a tier 2.
It's like a 2?
Yeah, tier 2 is for Maze.
Even though it plays second at Vancouver GP.
Right.
Because this guy he fucked it up hardcore, but...
You mean his opponent playing against the Maze's End?
No, the guy piloting the Maze's End deck fucked it up. He had the Cracking Perimeter where you tap a gate, it deals one damage.
Right.
He also had Detention Spheres on the board, and he was trying to get rid of an enchantment creature with Merciless Eviction. But the thing is, he accidentally said enchantments when he really meant enchantment creature, so he just should have said a creature. So he got rid of his Cracking the Perimeter and all his Detention Spheres.
Ta!
Because he said enchantments. Ouch. He first said enchantments. He's like, oh, fuck.
that's definitely an aw fuck moment.
Oh, God.
He lost game two, and then he couldn't keep up in game three, so he lost.
And he committed suicide shortly after that.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know.
What about that suicide hotline?
Oh, I know. You better pin that shit to the top of the forums.
But in, like, in a format with absolutely zero land destruction, it's hard to beat a deck like that.
Yeah.
As long as it can hit its land drops.
So
what tier 2 decks do you think benefited from this set? Not might rise up to tier 1, but what, like, benefited? I think white-green got some ammunition.
Yeah, with, Celestia. Like, Corsair Purefix.
Yeah,
I think that's going to really help out.
Especially one, Brimaz.
Brimaz, yeah, he's gonna help out.
I don't know. I have to see it play out, like what people are gonna do, because there's people out there that are way better. That's building decks and knowing, like, you know, how to build a tier one deck. So I mean, we'll have to see. But I mean, right now I feel red greens could benefit. I think mono red. I think mono red's kind of been pushed off.
It got
to
a
the
little
tier two.
Bit of ammunition in this set.
Yeah,
it
did. It's
still
nothing.
Fall of the Hammer.
Fall of the Hammer's good. Yeah.
It's like the best, like...
What's that one do again?
It's one red for an instant. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to another target creature. Right. So you're fighting your opponent's creature dealing damage back.
Yeah. I mean, that's good.
But if you're playing a red-green, and you got big creatures...
That's perfect.
But that's just ammunition for red-green. That's not ammunition.
But even for just...
Green it is, but it's more
but
for red
doesn't have a lot
but
of...
even for mono-red,
like
you have, like, an Ashtella, or you have a Boros Reckoner out on the board.
But these are all three drops, so you're the same thing as a Lightning Strike, or whatever, Lightning... Because that's going to be to target player or creature. That's, like, flexibility. Unless you can hit it for, like, five or six, then I don't see getting played...
I think it's a good card to have a couple copies in, because if you get to a point where they have bigger creatures on the board, you can effectively deal with it with Fall of the Hammer, because you can block with it and then finish it off.
Yeah. I think red-green and white-green got the best out of this set.
Yeah, that's
it. They got the best tools. Everything else is already established, and they don't need it, or they just didn't get enough.
Look, it's a foil, but you can barely tell.
I like
that's a foil Fall of the Hammer?
I know.
But you can barely see
Dude, that's one of the worst. You know what the worst foil I ever got was? Howl of the Night Pack. Just the fangs on the wolf are fucking foiled. Like, nothing else is foiled.
That is bullshit.
Needs to be fired for that.
Dude, I pulled this foil out when I got my Kiora. I was like, yeah, Kiora. And I'm like, oh, fucking foil foil every year.
Maybe a foil?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's this comic doing behind the mythic? That's weird.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to see what the meta turns into, if it changes at all. I don't see a shift. I think black's going to still be, like, top dog. Control's still going to be top dog. It's just...
I think the black mono black players are gonna fall into a trap though.
They're gonna try and change things up and fuck it up.
There's black got a lot of good removal in the set, but the creatures are kind of subpar for what it wants to do, and I think they're just gonna be so removal heavy that they're not gonna have enough threats on the board. So I think that mono black didn't really pick up too much in the set. They have more like sideboard cards for niche cases and things like that.
I don't think mono black or mono blue really needs to change anything.
No, I think they probably just run the same exact shit.
Mono blue is not going to be aggro heavy it is now. I think they're going to go more to a grindier type like mono black is. Okay. Especially, you know, you got the good counter spells in blue.
The devotion counter.
The fastest rebuff, one blue, counter target spell.
What is it, nullify?
Nullify. Sick.
The devotion counter, that one's sick.
Yeah. And then you gotta have something thing like Faded Infatuation, the blue, you create a copy of something.
Yeah.
And then you scry, which is, I think is really good.
Now how much counter does mono blue play right now?
It's only in the sideboard.
Okay, so that would be the sideboard
card. Right?
I was gonna say, when you think about the devotion card, that Thassa, whatever, like, it might not get, it's not main board card, right? Even though, like, it sounds awesome and you can, like, counter damn near any stealth, you always have devotion.
Yeah.
But, like, when are you really going to play? You don't want to waste that card. You want to play something, a creature.
Well, because blue is so curve-based. It has, like, the perfect fucking curve. Every time I play your blue deck, it's like you just have this fucking perfect
curve. 1, 2, 3,
exactly. 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, scrambling to, like, try and get my shit in fucking order.
Well, I think this way, with the counter spells and, like, with something like Retraction Helix, it's a one instant, your creatures gain tap, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. I think they're going to play a couple of these, and they're going to take out like the rapid hybridization. They're going to take out the domestications and things like that and play more of these cards to help protect its devotion.
Yeah.
Because the devotion one thing is with so the devotion with mono blue I've always seen, especially with mono black in the format, is it's very dependent on placing threats on the board. That's why they play Jace. That's why they play Bident. Along because they need some sort of devotion minus creatures. That's why I think the counter spells are going to help out so good. I'm going to be able to keep Thassa active all points of the game.
You know,
it's
that,
not going to be a back and forth.
Yeah, turn Thassa off is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
What's that one? The one that takes, you know, it takes the creatures and put it to you. It gives two blue devotion.
What?
The one that steals your opponent's creatures and brings you the what's it called?
Domestication.
Domestication, thank you.
Yeah.
That one gives two blue mana, so that's a good card.
Yeah.
You know, take a threat away,
it's
add
good.
Devotion.
That's or take a block but away. But prevent them from like using a combat trick on it just to get the blow up the domestication creature back. I also saw a point where there was a mono blue versus a blue white matchup in standard. Where the only mono blue's line to get out of the situation was to domesticate Archangel of Thune, which works. It's a 3/4. It's not 4 power, but he can't do anything with it. He can't block with it. He can't attack with it because as soon as he does, he gets a 4/5, and then the domestication falls off.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like
basically just like a pacifism.
Pretty much. Like
that's actually funny.
I think those spells are going to go out and these spells are going to come in because I think the creatures are good and the blue doesn't provide too many creatures that fits in that that deck, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to take out those type spells because, you know, I'd rather have a counter spell that can hit all your creatures rather than, okay, I have to save this rapid hybridization for your desecration demon. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I can deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This way I have an option. I can deal with this, or I can deal with that. You know,
yeah.
Like an Underworld Connections, like that just blows Mono Blue out of the water because I can't deal with the card advantage. Especially if Mono Black runs Hero's Downfall, they can just downfall my Jace, and then there's my card advantage.
Yep.
Especially if we have like a Desecration Demon, I can't outpower and toughness it, so I can't rely on Biden.
And then if you sack shit, then you lose your devotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So
hopefully, if you have Master out, you know, that's at least just a little bit of that. But that rarely happens.
Yeah,
right? It's like almost never happens.
That's just good, but it's just too fragile.
Fuck like, yeah, it is.
So, I mean, so we covered the new cards. We covered history of our magic. We covered the metagame.
The changing meta.
Oh, I wanted to say that, yeah, after this we are playing a draft.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely playing a draft.
I'm actually kind of ready for the draft.
Yeah, the draft sounds good. I'm ready anytime you guys
I mean, is there anything else you'd like to add? You know, in the future I want to talk more about just a little bit more about other formats. I don't want to become like we'll talk about fucking anything on the podcast related to Magic, but I want to dig into maybe like Pauper or like modern or Commander or Commander.
I've been doing Commander. A lot of Commander. On Pauper.
What about a cube?
Oh, I want to build our own cube. Okay,
yeah, we'll have to I'd say proxy it.
No, listen to this idea. Okay, so we should play a cube with like only cards that we've played with. Not like so old school cards, but like build our own like cube.
Like starting from Gate.
Well, starting from like Ravnica.
Not gonna have enough cards.
Like M13.
Well, you mean no? It doesn't matter what the power level is. It's like just build archetypes.
How big is a cube? How many? You gotta have 300 and some cards for your cube.
You have to have.
Or we could go back to
three. So you have 8 sets of 3 boosters at 15 cards each.
Okay.
So okay, how about this? We go back to M11 so we can play with the Titans. So M11 till now.
The Titans for your deck. You want a great kitty.
All right. Yeah, we'll have to discuss this.
But I want to build some sort of cube.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm down with the proxy cube where we bring in all the proxy, old school cards.
Just like the cube from Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, yeah, like the holiday cube.
Like it has that, all I want to create that.
Proxy Black Lotuses.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I want to build
Black
like
rubies, you
know. I want to build like a cube from M11. Till like now, just so it's like mostly cards that we've seen and played with, and we're familiar with.
But
I think it'd just be fun to build our own, you know.
I think you shouldn't replace a set restriction on it. You should just be like, these are the cards I want, because it's cube's a very delicate thing where you have to make sure that you have enough archetypes for people to draft in, and that all the archetypes are kind of equal. And if you set yourself on a certain set, you might force the archetype to be too good, and everybody's trying to get that, and then you destroy that archetype because everybody's
after it. Well, then I'll just make the power level go down and buff up.
You don't need to be super cards either.
I mean, I'm saying it's one of those things.
Or we could do a
Popper
Cube.
I think
Popper
Cube would be some.
It's always going to be like revolving.
Popper Cube.
You know, it's always going to be evolving. You might like, okay, this one card's like too overpowered, everybody's played or whatever.
Like,
and then you change it out or you add something else that like lowers the value of that card.
But I want to. I want to play with the old cards, but I want to play with like not so much those broken ass old cards. You know, like I want to set like a standard, like see what I can do within these parameters.
Sorry, I want to put a 15-15 into play on turn one.
Nope. Tap, untap, eggs, untap, tap.
Oh, did you look at the eggs deck?
No, I watched it on fucking.
That thing's sick.
I watched like 5 minutes of it on it was like Star City or some fucking thing. And I was like, I'm almost glad I didn't play back then, because that looks fucking boring as shit. It's like, okay, play land, and then I tap this, and I look at my library, and bring this out, and I untap this, and it's like, the guy's just playing solitaire for like 5 minutes.
Like, I'm playing by myself here.
The other guy's just,
come back.
The other guy's just sitting there like, well, I hope he fucks up one of his steps, so then I can actually like play. You know?
That's a combo deck, though.
That's boring. That's a no fun, I'll just watch you play Magic deck.
That's a combo deck, though. That's
I'd rather play exactly fucking Pokemon at that point,
I'm gonna whip out my Game Boy real quick.
So, there's winning and then there's having fun.
I'd rather play with my fucking dad's dick than fucking
Okay, let me put this to you then. Would you rather play versus a combo, play combo decks, where it's kind of like you're playing solitaire? Or would you rather play like these standard fair decks where it's more about like play creature? Okay, you play creature. Attack with creature. Oh, your block, combat trick.
Yeah.
I'd rather play that.
You'd rather than the combo deck, like, oh, okay, well, I can't play my combo piece because he's got this much mana, so I have to tap this much mana of his, and then I can play it, and like, just interesting lines like that, where you're always constantly thinking ahead, you have to worry about, are they gonna combo off this turn? Can I combo off on this turn?
Part of that, I could say part of that, it sounds interesting, but the solitaire thing really bothers me.
It's like solitaire, but once again, you're playing against yourself and another person rather than just playing against another person.
Well, you still gotta get that fucking magical unicorn hand too.
Once again, I'd rather draw an eyes and a mouth on my dad's penis and then use it as a puppet than play the eggs deck.
I
want to
see this,
yeah.
Really. Alright.
You know, let's fuck
video
this.
Podcast.
Yeah, let's go. Let's here we go. I think we need to end this and go over to my dad's house and, you know,
all right.
Feed him some drinks and see what happens.
You guys go get some penises. I'll play my solitaire game.
Yeah, you play with your eggs. That just sounds gay to play with penises. So anyway, are you guys ready to draft?
Yeah, I think we're ready to
draft. I think once we start making dick jokes, we're running out of steam here.
We're working at 128.
Not too bad for the first podcast.
Well, we always want to go over. Because you don't know how much it's going to have to be edited out.
Yeah, no, so no. For the listener, like, everything's been edited. This is actually been a 4-hour
they've
podcast.
Just turned it off after the 2 minutes.
So I think if we go to 2 hours, it'll leave enough stuff for like at least an hour.
I think most of the stuff was we can leave in, you know, because this is besides what we're actually saying right now about editing.
No,
and nobody wants to hear us talk about editing what we're talking about.
This is prime quality. It's content.
All right, well, this has been the fucking first episode of If Lands Could Kill. You know, we're gonna try and get a fucking YouTube channel, website, we got Twitch channels. I think everybody has Twitch channel except for Hot Sauce. You got a Twitch channel?
Nope.
So we, we'll stream games, whether it's Magic or other stuff, but I like to, whenever I draft online, I like to stream my drafts.
Yeah, just look around. We'll have planes flying around with banners, you know.
We'll have skywriting.
Yeah, we'll have the Goodyear blimp flying around.
You'll open up a fortune cookie. It'll be like our website URL. Yeah.
Follow the link. Follow the Q code or whatever those barcode things are.
QR code.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So, this has been our episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And, I don't know how often we're gonna do this. Maybe like, try and do it once every 2 weeks, I feel.
I think, if we could every week. But,
yeah, you know, but
I think
just,
the goal is every week.
The goal is every week, but realistically I think it's gonna be every 2 weeks. Just because, to get all four of us, or even just three of us together, like, it's gonna be
a pain
in the ass. So, you know what, just stay tuned for more episodes and, yeah, draft on.
You know what we need? We need a sign out, though.
We need a sign out? We need
something. No, not like that. Next time we can figure out a way to really just like.
Resources sign out.
No, we don't want Jack to limit the resources.
No,
what is
but
that?
Do like.
Well, just he does this like funny rant at the end, like whether it's
like the last
he did like
one
a poem did, yeah. Or he'll do like a.
Stay classy.
Like the last one they did was, he did one about the host, because the host, of Limited Resources does a lot of event coverage. So if you wanna, you ever see Marshall at like an event, you wanna approach him, this is how you should go about it. First things first, always approach him at a 45 degree angle. Second of all, you wanna bring some sort of offering and always stand 20 meters from him.
I bring the Snickers to honor your penis.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some random like that.
We'll come up with something good, but,
No, we don't need it. I just like having a little something. We're always gonna be talking and having a good time on this.
Sign off.
It'd be nice. I like a little structure.
Yeah.
Structure's fun, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, when we do the podcast, originally what I'd like, everybody just have like topics and then, you know, we create.
Yeah, definitely. Structure so like that is already.
And then like, I think our sign off should be is just the bloopers from the podcast.
The bloopers, okay.
So
I like
the sign off is just like all the stupid funny
shit. The
shit
that got cut.
Yeah. And then we'll fade into like Mariah Carey or something.
Some Seal. Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, some. Oh, did you say some Seal?
Yeah.
R. Anyways, yeah, we're gonna get out of here and draft. So this has been If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
I'm a Quickness.
This is Reich.
And Hot Sauce.
And fucking play on, players.